agendas being passed, in case you didn't print it, and the minutes from the last time, if you didn't have a chance to take a look at them, you can cruise them. Are you missing something over there? There you go.
No.
Yeah, I printed off my phone.
All right.
Oh, that's the minutes.
The minutes are on the second page.
All right, well, while you look that up, I'm just gonna, take a roll here, and, okay, so I'm here present. Nicole?
Here.
All right, Kathy is not here. Who do I have from OUSD here? I have Scott.
Scott Hardy.
Good morning.
Director of Maintenance Operations.
And I have Rivera, I got Deputy Benzie. I have Jill, Michelle from BPE, Michelle from Serrano, Michelle from CV. Yes.
No, BPHS. BPHS.
BPHS. Okay, yes. There you go. Sorry.
Your name's making a company today.
You're CV. You have us mixed up.
Yes.
Okay. I'm CV. She's BPHS. I was BPHS last year.
Okay, so we will correct that for the next time. Wonderful. And we have Steve here.
Okay.
Sounds great. All right. I don't see anybody here for public comment. So we can move on and we can discuss, at the end we can discuss whatever comes up that we haven't put on the agenda. How's that? We'll make it go a little bit easier. So if you have any corrections on the minutes, this is the time to let us know. And just to remind everybody, this meeting is recorded and the recording is put on the website. So in case you ever want to refer to it, that's where it's at.
I do have a correction. My name has a Z on it.
There you go. Okay, that's a good one. All right, we will correct that with a Z. Okay. So noted.
Okay.
Hi. Hi, Kathy. Good morning. Pull up a chair. Grab a cup of coffee. Pull up a chair. Or a sausage. Or Jill has some leftovers over there from the Rotary, and it looks really good. All right. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Okay. A second.
I'll second.
Okay. Michelle Gonzalez with a Z.
Yeah.
We're going to call her Michelle
this
Z.
So if you want to put an accent over the A, you can.
Oh, there you go. Got it. The funny things are. All right. So let's start with the school events for this year. And at this point, I think we're just going to go, we'll start with Nicole and talk about school events for the year.
Okay. As I don't know how many of you have noticed, Sierra Villa has a new marquee out in front of the school, a new electronic marquee. We're really excited about that. Let us know if anyone complains. We have a new early release schedule this year. The middle school students are out at 1:13 p.m. So hopefully that will help with traffic, and I know that we're in later on in the agenda we're addressing behavior in the town center, so hopefully that's had an impact on some of the things we were seeing here in the morning. Traffic accidents, again, was something I was going to mention, but we've got that later on in the agenda. And right now, at the beginning of the year, we kicked off our Step It Up fundraiser, and that's going on right now, and everything's due today and tomorrow for that, so just keeping busy over at Sierra Villa.
Very good.
That's a good question.
Yes.
1:15 dismissal?
1:13.
1:13?
Mm-hmm.
Every day?
Every Wednesday.
Okay.
So, yeah, where we used to have late start every Wednesday, it's now a early release schedule instead. Okay. So they're being released at 1:13 instead of starting late.
All right.
So, yeah, we were having a lot of issues here in the center because parents need to get to work, and so they were just dumping their kids off, and there were some behavior problems. So. So hopefully making the switch will...
And the elementary's out at 12:15
on
Wednesday.
And you guys went earlier. That was your normal.
No, that's normal.
12:15. Yeah, 12:15. Yeah.
But the parents have, I mean, it's
so the hour
the
does,
parents.
We did think early release would be more at like 12:15, so you could just swing and do the middle schoolers and the elementary schoolers all at once, but I guess now you go get your elementary schooler, go grab lunch, and come back.
Yes.
All right. Do you know, is there an astronomy night or anything like that?
Anyway.
Astronomy night or anything going on between now, you think, and next week?
I don't
know
the count. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
No.
All right. Wonderful. All right. We'll go back to Phillip Park High School.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. It's my first time being a president.
So we had a Michelle, a 2L. You're the 2L one?
There are two 2Ls.
There you go.
We've
got the two.
We are the 2Ls. She's the odd one.
Michelle W.
I am.
With a Z. So. So I
I'm not 100% certain how this meeting works and what exactly I'm supposed
to tell us what's going on at Villa Park High School. Okay. Tell us what's going on maybe in the next like 60 days that you have planned, and we know just
well, I was just going to pull up my calendar to report that to you, but apparently this is a dead zone, and all I get is loading. So
I get it if you take off your Wi-Fi. If you turn it off, it comes in under guest. That's how I have to get on it.
Okay.
So you can try that.
Okay. Nicole, can you think off the top of your head? Oh, look, there. Wait.
Got it?
Something popped. Okay. Sorry, I would have been ready to go, but it was
That's all right. Not a problem. That's how it works for me. Or you can just go off the top of your head.
Okay. Nicole, what can you think of off the top of your head?
I mean, football's been really big.
Do you have senior night? Do you have senior night tonight?
Our senior section's been ranked top with, what do you call that website?
Through the register, the student section of the week. We've been, OC Varsity.
That's the word I was looking for.
Student section of the week, two weeks running.
Okay.
And then we got Southern section.
We're talking football?
For football, yes. For student section. So we got the top student section, all of the Southern section. So that was really exciting.
That was very exciting. I still can't find the calendar.
Okay.
Homecoming's coming up
October
on the 20th.
Okay.
The game's on the 19th. Mm-hmm. The dance is on the 20th.
And where's the game at? Is it a home game or is it away?
Yeah. Homecoming's always a home game.
You know what? I don't know anymore. So
Homecoming's
always
a home game, yeah. And then the dance is at...
It's at Phillip Park High School.
It is at the high school. Okay.
Yes. And then...
That ends at 10.
We already had the hello dance at the beginning of the school year.
Yes. I'm trying to think of things that would impact the city.
Well, the dance does. So the dance hours are, I'm assuming, from 7 to 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we have anything else coming up that impacts
Is the dance at the PAC?
It's in the... gym.
Yeah, in the gym.
Okay, in the gym.
If I can make a comment.
Yes, please.
On that day, and we live close to the high school,
uh-huh.
I could hear the music, and my little grandson was spending the night, and he doesn't do that very often, and he has really good hearing, and he was trying to go to sleep, and he said, Cammy, he said, what's that going ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom? And so I just told him, I said, well, they're having a party over at the high school, and he used to live near a high school, so he understands that sometimes you hear stuff from a high school. And so he said, okay, and then he just went to sleep. And then later on, I did an errand, and I thought, oh, I love the hello dance because it's so great. The kids are back to school, and some of them are here for the first time. So I thought, I'm going to sort of walk across the street and sort of, like, look. And so by the time, and it was like 9:55 or something when I was coming home, by the time I parked my car and got ready to walk over, it was done at 10 o'clock on the sounding of 10 o'clock. The music was over, and I thought that was very nice and respectful to the neighborhood. You know, that's a very decent hour, so
Good.
I just wanted to comment.
Okay, and how's the people getting in and out of the high school and driving it with the back gate closed? I know, you know, they've gotten used to it now, but...
Yeah, the first,
you know.
Yeah, I haven't noticed during my pickup times and my routine, I haven't noticed it being significantly... worse. I think people are making adjustments.
I know my kids leave. They leave earlier.
Yeah.
To get there because
either earlier
to go
or later
traffic.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you know it's maybe slightly heavier, but not significantly. Not enough to be impactful. I don't think. Do you?
Well, in the first couple days too, a lot of the sports. You know, you've got early weight room or you've got early practice. Mm-hmm. And those first couple days of school, you didn't have that. You know, it just is something that got started as school got rolling. So, I think that's helped a little bit too. Is having kind of the kids with this more staggered schedules.
Okay.
But it has gotten a lot better because those first couple days were terrible.
Yeah, first.
Well, the first couple days at any school.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But that was particularly
terrible.
Bad.
Okay.
We directed traffic at BPE for many years. We know how bad it can be.
Just spoiling. Are you guys revising track? The field, your track field?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all
Yeah, we can
are.
Talk about that when.
Okay. Perfect.
We can do that now. It's a Villa Park High School improvement project, so we can talk about Let's talk about that now.
Okay, well,
it's not a separate option.
And
yeah.
He can actually talk about that.
I'll pass out.
Yeah.
Okay,
pass
sorry.
Out hand. I didn't have
you
know, questions.
Segue
that I was,
right in. It
and we
great.
Can talk about traffic.
Like, keep hearing tidbits, and nobody seems to really know what's going on.
I get boring for a long time.
Yeah, well,
perfect.
Okay. If I may ask that we not regurgitate Measure S, because there are, okay, I just want to make sure that we continue to continue to move forward and not regurgitate what keeps coming up in every meeting.
So we can briefly go over it, but this packet, I won't go over the whole packet, but just so you have the information, this packet will show you a little bit about the new building, but we'll go past that at this point. We all know that it's going in, where it's going, that the under building goes down this year, and then a new building goes in its place within the next year and a half or so. But for the one thing we're going to talk about is the traffic flow plan. So if you look on page 4, on the bottom slide there, this is a traffic plan that we have gone over with the city, that we're you know, in talk still in terms of the actual civil engineering of the improvements. But basically there's going to be two pickup and drop off zones that will be created, a completely different method of pickup and drop off than what we have now. Santiago's entrance will still be open, but it will be used probably very infrequently because of the amount of flow of traffic that we're going to see in the actual parking lot. So if you pull into the parking lot now in the far west driveway, closest to Santiago, closest to Santiago. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Then you can turn into that driveway, and you can also turn out of that driveway. You will not be able to turn out of that driveway. It'll be an inlet only. So you can see that represented in this plan. And then you can continue all the way through to the front of the 100 building if you would like to drop off there and turn right. But if you want to continue through that pickup and drop off zone and turn left, you would exit out at a brand new opening at Nichols Avenue.
So the intersection right there?
The intersection becomes a four-way stoplight.
A three-way.
Four-way.
Oh, they just can't go straight.
You can't go straight onto Nichols from the parking lot. Yeah. You can't go straight from Nichols to the parking lot. So you can't go out straight or in straight, so that traffic coming from Sierra Villa cannot drop off into the zone. They would have to go around. So that makes the flow of traffic coming from that way divert still right or left. So that's not changing.
But is there any reason why we abandoned drop-off on Santiago? I know when we were talking about the bonds initially, when we were doing like the community focus,
right.
There was a lot of talk about doing some sort of like inlet on Santiago where parents could pull in,
and
a walkway going back.
Right,
so that kids weren't tricking across
a turnabout or something like that nearest to the field. Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was just basically kind of taking the curb over, like, created kind of a new lane where the sidewalk maybe is, just for a small amount.
Like a bus lane kind of thing.
So people could drop off, and then there was going to be a sidewalk that went between the baseball fields and the practice fields that went all the way up to the
That's a new plan to me.
That was in the original Measure S.
It was in an original community meeting.
It was an early drawing.
I think both through the traffic engineers and all the things that have happened since then. I don't know. I've only been in Measure S program for about a year, so I'm not privy to the conversations. But I know that our traffic engineers went through the whole process, and we looked at Santiago as an entrance and putting a turnabout somewhere near the field. And all of that, and we found that there's not that much traffic in that area, actually, that picks up and drops off in that space, compared to, obviously, in the main lot.
Well, because, like, for me, it would be much easier to come up Santiago and just drop my kids there, but I'm not going to have them schlep across that muddy field.
Yeah.
You know, so...
No longer muddy. Well, now.
But it's one of those things, you know. If it was easy to do, and there was a dedicated turn-in lane and a walkway where
there's a whole section of the neighborhood,
then we would use it, which would take
traffic
off Taft.
Yeah, it would take, it would alleviate part of the weight of the traffic off Taft to put those people like us in that area.
Well, especially coming from the elementary school, just to kind of avoid going all the way up to Taft, because when I drop off at VPE, I used to just dread like going up
Center.
Well, I have to say the district has revamped this entire drop-off for the high school in the last 60 days for us.
At a cost that was quite a bit. We were just wondering, in addition, about the rear
Down the road.
That would have to be something that we look at in the future. future, second phase, or it just depends on how the flow goes. I say we see how this goes and how it eliminates traffic and makes the flow better, and then we can look at other ideas.
Keep in mind, when you came up center and you turned left on Taft and you wanted to turn left into the school, you had to wait. This will be a regulated left turn lane. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a light there stopping traffic for you, which you didn't have before. Yeah. So that should improve that flow a lot better if you see like that'll be a regulated light
right
there.
Yeah.
And
will the students be able to access that student parking from Santiago?
Yeah, they'll still be able to come through the back inlet.
Yeah, because that takes a lot of the pressure.
How many student spots are we losing?
We have to determine that.
Okay.
Yeah, there are going to be some, but we haven't determined that. We have to get the actual plan, and this is just conceptual at this point. But there will be a loss of student spaces.
Maybe we can find another area to add them back in.
Yeah, staff, we're hoping not to lose staff spaces with students potentially. And that's where there is a little leeway in the student lot versus the staff. There's not much leeway at all. We need to provide for those cars that are permanently will always be there every day.
Yes, I work with traffic engineers. The ideal situation is that you take traffic off the street and have a long driveway and then have them enter the street. So with this plan here, we're probably tripling the volume of cars that are going to be taken off the street compared to what exists now. It's going to significantly change what the front of the school is going to look like.
Yeah.
It will improve current conditions.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We believe that as it is today, the traffic engineer in the studies have validated the numbers. We'll have less traffic on Taft because it will put it onto the campus. And that long access way, drop-off area zone, or whatever you call it, which it's more than double extends the length of that drop-off zone.
I think it's 344 feet. It will go to over 700 feet. So that's
two lanes. Far.
Will this still allow for dropping off on Taft?
Yes.
Line?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this crosswalks will still be intact. I think the crosswalk that's near to Nichols will actually just move over a little bit further to the curb, obviously. Right now it's slow inset from there. But
utilizing that traffic light.
Yes.
Is it possible to rotate the traffic light where one green is for coming out of the parking lot, one green is for the people doing this, and one is for pedestrians?
There'll definitely be some queuing that will have to happen, but that's all within the engineers, you know.
So like a pedestrian-only light, because historically that light turns green, the pedestrians go, the cars don't get a chance, then the cars back up because of the pedestrians.
When we met, we had a room full of consultants. This is what they do for a living.
Yeah.
Guiding us in the process. So that's all going to be programmed in to create the safest environment. But this, by far, creates the safest environment that we're going to have in front of the school. And alleviate traffic.
Yeah.
No, it looks great.
Yeah.
So we'll be giving you, going from conceptual to actual plan, I'll bring the engineered plans to this meeting, so that you can see what it will look like. That would be the next step after we've worked out with the city and talked about our permitting. It'll tell you a little bit about the highlights there. We've gone over it mostly. And then there is a rendering. Just wanted to show this, you know, this group, the rendering of the field. So this is what the field will look like. It is a gray track. So, and then you have the multicolored,
kind of material is it?
It's synthetic turf.
No, I meant that it's not gravel, right? Or is it?
No, it's rubber.
Rubber?
It's a rubberized sandwich track, so it's three different layers of rubberized material, recycled tires, basically.
Right.
Can you explain to her, because you were asking about that we're doing all three?
Well, we've had just some big concerns about not having track this year. People are a little bit really annoyed, especially sixth graders that just lose this opportunity.
Well, we have a rule because Fred Kelly's going.
Yeah. Right. So, somebody had said at one of our meetings that Villa Park wanted to take it on and host track this year. And so it was just kind of...
Can't you use Serrano's? I mean, CVs?
CVs.
No.
Are you talking about the foundation games? Or just
the foundation games.
Actually house them.
They said they were canceled.
Yeah, they're canceled.
Correct.
Yeah.
I guess, but what we heard is that Villa Park, the coach, I'm not too sure who he is exactly, was trying to kind of get Orange Unified to...
It's the Orange Community Foundation, and they canceled it.
Right,
it's
and done. That's what I had said. I said, no, as far as I knew, all Orange Unified was out this year, right. And I think, I don't know if he was just trying to...
Yeah, it's that community foundation, so it's not just Orange Unified, it's other kids too that
aren't. Right, right, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, the community foundation decided to cancel it, and I haven't heard anything as president.
Officially, it's canceled.
Yes, I hadn't either until somebody had said that apparently he was trying to kind of...
I don't think it's a thing.
Yes, that's all I was trying to make sure.
Maybe they chatted and nothing came of it, but I don't think it's a thing.
They even moved their gala, because, I mean, so they're kind of like in a year of... They're going to just recoup right now.
Yes, no, that was what I was initially told too. And then I kept hearing these kind of like weird things. So I just wanted to make sure to
maybe you can get the local elementaries to get together and do a little mini track meet over at CBS.
Well, that's what they were trying to see if something, because I know the sixth graders are the ones that really lose the, you know, love it and work to it. But that was all. I was just trying to feed correct information back, because from what I heard, it was done and canceled, and that's just what it was. So
if you ever have any questions about facilities,
mm-hmm.
Scott and I are the ones that we can talk to.
Perfect.
Perfect. We're the ones that are tasked with worrying about solving problems.
But the coaches have been involved, and the athletic directors have been involved in the planning of this, and you know, picking the colors, and dealing with the schedule and the contractors and all that. They're intricately involved, so they know the schedule. So I'm just kind of surprised that they would say. Take on the foundation games.
Well, that's why, and I was thinking this can't
and
house.
And they couldn't do it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was okay.
Yeah,
just not getting
just how many people typically go? Like a couple thousand people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's big.
It's more than what could be.
These are practice fields.
Way more, Well, that's why I was like,
what's the current estimated completion date for ours right here?
So it will complete in terms of the first phase, so what you see here with the track and field itself by December. And then we have to do some construction to the surrounding areas around the track. So sidewalk, there'll be concrete put in, there'll be ADA cement work that'll be done over by the softball field as well to flatten out that area for wheelchair access.
And
that will happen in the spring. And so you'll be able to use it for practices, but no public interaction on those fields until after August.
Now, I guess that was my question: is the what you see so often is schools redo their tracks and then they're closed to the public permanently after that because the schools want to take care of them. This is something that is really highly utilized by our community. So once everything is completed after the spring and all the other extraneous items outside of the track are done, it will be open to the community, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Correct.
Yeah. And you reported that at the council meeting.
From a pedestrian standpoint, yes. Not to bring vehicles and, around the NASCAR track. But
no.
Yeah.
They do that over at CB.
CB, though, we've opened the, after school hours, we opened up the side gate that's on Serrano, and we let the community know at the city council meeting that it's available to use as a walk.
They're using it.
I see
them on the track. They're using it. Not as many because it's a little bit out of
the construction timelines on this sheet as well. And then I just took some pictures of what if you have students at Villa Park, you know what it looks like because people are curious. But
in order to will they start hosting like track events and things of that nature next year?
When you say host, it's possible, but there's no stands, per se, except for the ones that exist. There's a small group of stands there. I think it's a five-level small stands that could fit maybe 30, 40, no, way more than that, probably 50 people.
Okay. So they will be probably hosting,
since Mark was running track,
a league event?
So they can't, no. Fred Kelly is still the main site for hosting large meets.
Okay. So we're not adding any additional bleachers here?
No, it's a practice field. These are practice fields.
Right. Okay.
People want to use them for games, but understanding...
Well, they use them for freshman football and...
It's possible for freshman lower-level games, yes.
Track events and things.
Okay. For track meets, though, I don't think it can accommodate because the amount of athletes that are out there. So from three different schools, you go to Tri-City meet or whatever they call it, the tri-school meets, you can't host that there. There's too many people, so you would have to have that at Fred Kelly's.
Okay.
Which is, under renovation starting this December, and will be completed in, our hope is March of 2020.
So this December. Oh, wow. And where, as of right now, when you talk about the Fred Kelly Stadium, a graduation from Villa Park High School, as of right now, is looking to be where?
We're working on that as we speak.
We're working on the final details.
Considering I have two graduating, I have a personal interest.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah. I just remind you all the time.
We're working out the details and coordinating. We had a meeting yesterday where we had a discussion regarding the different options. And we're trying to get that calendared in the next 30, 60 days. So then that way we can give the announcements and everyone can plan. And our plans are, this is a one-year situation. And then maybe the first event that we have, the new stadium, is the graduations.
It will be.
Yeah.
First major
Jumbotron and everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wonderful. Okay. All right, let's move on to Serena. Thank you.
Okay, so I think I talked to last time we got a new marquee, too.
Wait, we missed Michelle. You can come back.
Oh. I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
He's got him on D, so
okay.
I kind of went out of order.
We had a new marquee that we put up at the end of last year. It's up and running. We shut it off at 7 because some of the neighbors were complaining about the light pollution.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Especially the one right across the street.
That's on a timer. So
the one that's for sale?
The one next to it.
It's not bright, but
okay. No, I
and it's
think
far
it was
away.
Too. Yeah. So we okay. It's on a timer.
That was nice of you. That was
seven.
Nice of you.
Yep. We try to accommodate. I'm not too sure what time it goes on, but I don't think that really okay. matters.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. probably right around there. We redid the old marquee mm-hmm. and kind of made it. We didn't want to tear it down, but we wanted to, you know, put something that was permanent that says Serrano Elementary. It was donated by our sixth grade class last year, which was really nice of them. So that's up and done. We had to move back our movie night because the Villa Park Elementary dad's poker night was also the same night as ours, so we pushed it back into October 19th. I don't think I need parking, but I will check to see because I think we opened the Big Apple for that. Mm-hmm. But if so, I will ask because they are trying to combine it with a trunk and treats kind of at our school. So just where kids will come.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, because they don't really like us doing too much Halloween there, so that will give the kids a chance to kind of dress up and walk around to cars and get candy and then have a movie community night for anybody that wants to stay and do that.
It's the homecoming game, just FYI, that night.
Yes, okay. It is. I know.
FYI.
I know. We were trying to beat the time change, and it was very limited, especially October going into, like, Halloween,
right.
The weekends. Yep. So it was kind of like...
Pick one.
I know. So we were hoping to not have too much competition with... Older, but it is what it is at this point. I know. I'm sorry. Were you asking me the question?
No, just keep going.
Okay. Carnival, we have moved this year again. It will not be in October. We're going to hit it in spring again, so we can revisit that for parking and have that night open, because I know we will definitely need the streets for that one.
What night is your carnival?
Well, we've moved it now 3 times. I've checked, I thought, with Carrie to see when your guys' was to make sure.
Ours is the 12th.
Ours is later. It's on the 27th of March. Okay. March.
March. Oh,
yes.
Yours.
Theirs is March 12th.
No, ours is April.
Oh, April
12th.
Okay, we hit March this time. Well, because we got rained out. Remember, that was what started the big pushback. So we're shooting for March and hoping for no showers this year, but I'll get with you guys for parking on that. But... the spring, it seemed to be really nice. We had a good turnout and did really well. So we were a little bit worried about that because we usually always do a fall one. But other than that, I think we're starting
so
along.
I'll mention it when we'll move on. But the dad's camp out this mm-hmm. year, we'd like it to be coordinated on the same day so we have our resources.
Ours is June 7th.
Only used once.
We're back to the same. I think it was the first Friday in June.
The day or the weekend before we mm-hmm. in school, I believe that's ours as well.
Usually it's the Friday before school.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we could, you know, make sure that, because just having the resources of the sheriff department and so on twice. And
yes.
I know it was a situation last year, but.
It was. It's harder for us because we can't share things mm-hmm. Because they unfortunately have a great resource to get donations from the fire department
sure.
and stuff. And so then we're stuck having to pay to find griddles and cook and all this. So it was really nice not having it on the same night on our end.
Yeah, and from our end, we got a 13% increase for the year for the sheriff, and we don't want to get that again next year.
All right. Well, I think we're scheduled. So that's what, we're good on that end. Yeah.
That's what happened. We're real conscious right now about utilizing the sheriff department.
Yeah. Well, I'm not too sure why it changed last year.
Well,
I think it was little son was married
like
or something.
I feel like she was out of town for her son's wedding and the mom
putting it together.
To be the principal.
Gotcha.
Somebody on campus for the evening, and I don't know that. Anybody else was willing? I'm not sure.
Right.
Whatever it was, she was not here.
It changed. Yeah.
Sarah Villa promotion is that same Friday.
The 7th?
Yeah, the promotion
the dance.
Party. The dance.
Yeah. Okay.
Party.
Promotion. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Promotion. And I think that's how it's been like that
it has.
In the
it's
past.
Always
so it's always,
before,
it's always
Friday
worked real
where
well. They're all over the place and you guys know what you're doing. So
yeah.
Good to know that.
Gotcha.
All right.
And I think they changed our, I need to look, but you just popped that in my head, but I think they changed our 6th grade graduation is no longer in the morning. They are going to have it at night this year. So we need to look at that for parking probably
nice.
As well.
Something different?
Yeah, something a little different because I know kids that are trying to get to the elementary school, to the CV, to, you know, that have
but
like.
On the
but
Thursday?
Then you have.
It's not that
13th.
It'll be on
yes,
the 13th,
school.
Yes.
The day
that's the last day. 13th
correct.
Is the last day.
So then you conflict with
the high
school,
school
graduation.
It was Orange Unified given to me, so I'm not too sure because usually they graduate first thing in the morning.
Unless you're changing the graduation date for us and we don't know it.
And not that I know of, it was the 13th, I believe. But
are all elementary schools changing?
Do you know
we're
that
still in the
calendar?
Okay.
I don't.
That's a big deal.
I know it's
if
a push.
If you can't have
I've
two night times.
I've done three graduations in one day.
Yes.
But
some
having to
make
a choice between whether to go to an elementary graduation or a
correct.
High school graduation, that's kind of tough.
It was nice to have it in the morning because you had enough time to
well,
get to CV. And
let's have Dave get back to us on that because she says it's OUSD, so it's there. They're looking at the calendar, so there might be an error there. Cause,
okay.
Yeah.
And before we blow it up out of proportion, we're going to send it back to you, and you can follow up with us on that.
I've done 3 in 1 day. It's
yeah, you can
lot.
Do 3 in 1 day, but
yes,
not at the same time.
You can't do it. Yeah, you
just can't do it both at
the
6
same
o'clock
time.
Is the only thing you can't do.
Yeah.
So if you follow up with that, that'd be great. Okay. Michelle.
Okay.
Carnival's April 12th is what, I'm sorry,
yes.
What you said. Thank you.
Villa Park Elementary, since everyone's talking about their marquee, I'm pretty proud of our new marquee, too.
It's nice.
And we also had some donations from the Community Services Foundation, which was very generous, and we're very appreciative of that. Everybody seems to love it, and Mrs. Adrey is learning how to program it, so it was a little touch and go for a while. But anyway, all is up and running. As far as events coming up, we have Fall Family Fun Night coming up on the 5th, October 5th, where we show a movie and we're having a chili cook-off and just some fun fall activities. We have like 21 entries for the chili cook-off. I was shocked.
Fun.
Conference week for us is the
8th judging?
Through the 12th. Actually, there's going to be an overall winner.
Mm-hmm.
There's an overall winner and a kid's choice. So they're going to, it's $5 to try all 21 chilies, and they get blue ticket for adult, kids get a yellow ticket, and then we'll just count
the people.
Tally
nice.
Them. So this is our first time, so I was, I don't know if I wanted to put anybody on the
that's how taste
that.
The test
so
does it, they do it like
we're
that
just going to do it that way. Minimum days, October 8th through the 12th for conference week, the entire week. We have walk to school days on the 10th. So there's going to be a lot of kids walking to school on October 10th. Let's see. We have family lunch on the lawn October 26th, so where families come and have lunch with their kids. Let's see. We have a bike rodeo happening on the 24th. We'll have a sheriff there.
Bike rodeo.
Okay.
Yes, it's for the third graders and 4th, 5th, and 6th if they have never done it. They just get bike safety training and they get a little certificate and the sheriff's department comes out and sets up a little obstacle course and moves them through.
And they get a license for their bike.
And they get a license.
That's awesome.
Cute.
I'm sorry, what was the date with the lunch with the kids?
That is October 26th. It's a Friday. We have a parent mixer that night too, but it's not at the school, it's at Moreno's. This year, our jogathon is typically on Halloween. We are changing it to November 14th. Just before Thanksgiving, it's going to be a turkey trot. Everyone seems to be pretty receptive of that. way ahead. I think we've already covered this, but Carnival's April 12th, Camp Bobcat June 7th, and the sixth grade promotions are on the 13th. I know, Deanna, you've asked about Kinder promotion in the past. And I know they did something different last year.
They did.
And it wasn't like a, it was just way low key.
It's like a whole week before or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So I think they're still going to go that route. And we have a new principal this year. Her name's Mrs. Beggs. She's Mrs. Little moved on to the district. And we're happy to have her, and everything seems to be going smoothly so far.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I do have one more thing. On October 4th from 4 to 6 p.m., that's Sarah Villa Parent Conferences.
Okay.
However, they are changing the format a little bit, and so we shouldn't have the crowds that we have because they're only calling in the kids who need, for whatever reason, need to have conferences. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can request a conference, but it's not the same format where everyone converges on the school and everyone goes. And it was a student success type format over the last few years, and they've gone away from that now. So we shouldn't have a lot of crowds, but I just wanted to let you know that that's the date and time.
Well, if you think that we need to do something parking-wise, you just tell us.
You know what? I have on the calendar that the homecoming game is actually the 18th of October, not the 19th. So that wouldn't even conflict with your movie night. It's a Thursday. Thursday, and then the assembly's Friday, and then the dance is Saturday.
Yeah, and the movie night's Friday night.
So I lied. Oh,
perfect.
You're good.
No.
So 10-18 is the football.
One less
homecoming
right?
game.
10-18 is the homecoming game. That was my bad.
And 10-20 is the homecoming.
Yes, and the assembly's on the 19th.
Okay. Got it. All right. All right, let's talk about student behavior in the town center and early release. And
may I speak on behalf of the foundation? I'm Jill Kulai, says I'm at large. The foundation is having a change of date for Halloween Fest this year. It's going to be on a Saturday. And those of you who know the Wu family know it's going to be an awesome event from Villa Park Elementary because they've been so involved. And so we look forward to having people young and old coming in costume here at the town center for that. And there'll be a little change of format, and there will not be a hayride this year. There will be carnival games, and which will be over in the parent courtyard area over here. The coloring contest will take part on site here as opposed to being done beforehand. So. Just wanted you to be aware of those kinds of things.
So it's the 27th?
On the 27th, okay. The Saturday the 27th, from 4:30 to, this, I don't remember, like 7.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted you to know is that the foundation does have money to be able to support grants for the elementary school and high school and middle school. So if you have not already, if you have a special request, please submit it because it's nice to be able to do that. We were able to help Bill Park Elementary a lot this last year. But all the schools have needs and we would like to be able to support that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, that's awesome.
All right. Sheriff. Hi, you're up.
I'm up for town center.
For town center. Did it work?
Since we instituted the early release instead of the late start, I have had 0 calls for service in the mornings on Wednesdays.
In the mornings. I know, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop.
No, I have yet to be called here for any various activities. That doesn't mean they're not happening, but they're not being reported.
Okay, that's okay. If they're bothered, if they're really bothered, they could pick up the phone and report it.
Absolutely.
Interesting, good.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was very positive.
Oh, it worked. All right. Okay. All right, let's talk about some parking enforcement and traffic issues. Well, I don't follow Nextdoor very often, but last night, not being able to sleep, I did, and it apparently exploded. Last night, and there's a reason why I don't follow it, because I don't actually particularly care for the site. But there was an accident, and it was in front of a Serrano, and it was an accident.
Cervilla, excuse me.
It was an accident. It was vehicle accident. It was, that happens.
They're called accidents for a reason.
They're called accidents for a reason, and it's not because of the striping. It's not because they were going too fast. It's not because there isn't enough room. It's not because a kid ran in the middle of the crosswalk. Driver driver not playing, whatever.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, well,
my recollection of the events on the CAD on our computer system looks like a left-hand turn and a head-on kind of thing.
Okay, so I know that right now there's buzz.
Somebody made a turn into the lane inappropriately.
I know, but where the accident was, there was no...
No. Somebody turned into the lane attempting to make a turn where they shouldn't have, apparently.
It's just weird because where it was is there's no turns. They were right...
They tried to merge it. They tried to merge right into the lane.
No.
That's what they did.
No. It was right... So right where Featherhill ends, it was literally between Featherhill and the bike lane, where you would enter the bike rack. It was in between that stretch.
Between Featherhill and Dodson?
Correct.
Right. It was driver error.
It's
an inappropriate turn by the driver.
Yeah, there was no place to turn. You literally
it's an inappropriate driver error.
Anything,
so
it's just driver error. Yeah. You can't stop it.
Gotcha.
I don't care what.
That's all. I was just trying to picture
what
you
do.
Turning into.
It doesn't matter what you do, but there is the. A lot of discussion again right now going on about traffic studies and restriping and park. It does. The city has spent a lot of money in the last 6 years, and just recently, within 12 months, did another traffic study. It has been addressed with the parents who did bring it up to us. I have a copy of it, and anybody can have a copy of it if you'd like. I think it might have even been posted on social media. And they did count cars. They saw what people did. They saw how people sped. And to be honest with you, right now, this is the best that it's going to be right now in front of that school. We can't stop people from being stupid. We can't stop them from dropping off their kids in the middle of the street. All we can do is, you know, hope for the best. I'd like to say that I maybe have, you know, never done it, but then I would be lying. Because, you know, at some point in my life, I think I probably did. But unless we come up with a whole different solution, which right now I know that the superintendent had a meeting with the mayor, and the mayor is trying to suggest that Orange Unified School District open up the back parking lot and have an entrance from Meats, so they would be able to turn in left from Meats and come down into Serrano. And that's something that hasn't come to council, but that's a discussion that has been...
I was told that's not their property, though,
I'm just letting you know where it's at, because the superintendent and I met, and that's something that was brought to them from the mayor.
There's an easement there that we can't touch.
Yeah, so it's not something that's here at council yet, but it's a discussion that is being had with the superintendent and somebody on council. So just let you know what's going on over there. So that goes on with the parking.
So I just have a question of at what point can the city council stop funding these requests? I mean, I see them as frivolous-ish. I mean, I have a huge concern. My kids go to Serrano. Obviously, I deal with the street on a seven-day basis between baseball, sports, and school. So I get it.
Yeah.
Fully get it. But at the same time, I feel like we're just running in circles to not...
You know, the council changes every 2 years.
So it's up to them.
And it's up to the council and another person and how they direct the city manager.
So it can just
And the city manager can recommend what we do and don't do. Several times he will recommend that we don't do it. And unfortunately, it is a majority of the council.
The big issue has come up is putting a stop sign there. They want to put a stop sign either at Featherhill or Dodson. There are state guidelines about where you put stop signs. It's not just you don't arbitrarily put them.
Right.
So our traffic engineer, we sat down with him, and I think we shared them with you. There's a guidelines, and those guidelines require X amount of traffic volume in an hour, or, you know, on a basis, which is traffic study. Or candidly, they require 3 accidents within a year type of thing, or there's classifications of accidents that they require. And so, you know, it doesn't fit, I mean, right now to put a stop sign there. So the other issue has been speed bumps, and I know we've had discussions. I know because it's a primary response that sheriff and in the past and both fire have said we don't want speed bumps there because that's a primary response. You're going to slow down, and our trucks will go down there, and somebody's flying down there to respond. It's going to affect maybe their response time. So there's a lot of issues related to it. So I mean, that doesn't mean they don't come up again, and that's what's happening now.
Gotcha. It's because I know we went through the stop sign
it's a
literally
great
5 years ago again, and they did the studies and they did all this. Couldn't
but didn't
do it. We just had somebody out there counting traffic again within the last 6 months.
Well, I'm curious because she just told me that they were putting in the flashy lights on the
crosswalk. One of the things we can do is we can have the ability to put in just a pedestrian warning sign, just to stop, you know, that they're pedestrian crossings. So those are easy to put in, and those are, you know. But the other discussion is coming up, the flashing the on the street.
Yes,
you know, the
that's what she told me was happening.
On the street, no, that's not happening.
No,
those are $25,000.
$25,000. 2 days ago that was happening. She's a parent at our school, and
no,
what
we've talked about is the signs on the side of the street that just say, you know, pedestrian, that would flash between like 7 and 8 in the morning, that are the yellow signs that have a flash on them just so you know the pedestrian crossing there.
Gotcha.
That's all we're talking about.
Okay, you know, she was
we're not talking about, no,
the,
we are
the
not
landing
talking,
strip basically
no.
was what I referred to.
The landing strip is $25,000 per intersection. Very expensive endeavor. Now, I don't want to say there's a price to, you know, what's appropriate price, but we've had the same discussion on Villa Park Road about putting in those. There are issues about putting them in. That's 25 initial, plus you're paying for, you know, you have to have signaled electrical supplies, et cetera. So it's kind of a lot more expensive there.
Gotcha.
It's not in the budget.
Cost per hit.
No, I'm just trying to get
that. So just so you know, those are
more.
So right now,
because I hadn't heard that, and then she said that it was coming.
But we're talking about one sign on each side, which are existing pedestrian signs anyway, that just would have flashing between 7 and 8 a.m.
Just to draw your attention.
To draw your attention. Hey, there's a pedestrian walk area there coming up. That's all it is. It's like, that's all we're talking about putting
in
there.
They don't work well at Villa Park Elementary. We do have four. Well, now we have three of them. You know, we have four, and they're terribly ugly. We got those with the grant. You know, there's a big piece of wood with the big red light on there.
But it's just at the stop sign. It's not the yellow pedestrian crossing sign.
It's not the yellow pedestrian crossing
sign. These are the yellow. They're solar oriented.
What happens, they get used to them.
You're right.
What's the elementary school right by El Medina on Spring? They have them on
Santiago?
Prospect. They have it at Spring. Yeah. There's nothing in the road there like it is on Prospect, but they have the two signs.
That's what we're talking about. Well, this will only flash their time,
the
so their time during the key drop off in like 7 to 8 a.m. and maybe 3 to 4 or whatever, just so you know, they're not going to flash most of the rest of that.
And what happens to you, just like your marquee, it'll go up, and even though it'll flash during the day, we do have residents there who are tired of the signs and the flashing, and so, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff to weigh in on. We didn't put it in the budget, but that's the kind of discussions that are being had right now. Right now, the big one is to open up meets, since that's already started here, and that's gone to the superintendent. It hasn't gone to you yet, so it's just kind of... It doesn't mean we want it or not, but I just want everyone to be aware. And that raised its head a couple years ago also. It's nothing new. It's the same story. But I just want you to know that that's what that is. And anybody can...
People use it as a thoroughfare.
Which one?
If you opened up meets.
Well, I mean, I suggested opening up Feather Hill also. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well turn in left on Feather Hill because it's closed up there and come down. But this is not, it's not our
property.
And leave it open. It's not our property.
The issue with Meats is it also involves the city of Orange because it's not us. Secondarily, from an engineering perspective, that's a turn. So there's a visibility issue that has to. So you would almost have to put in a light there to allow.
Right.
Otherwise, people are going to hit. You'd never see them. And the speeds at which they come down, that would be, you know.
Yeah, the engineers is against that.
Correct.
It's very, very much. And they're against it again now because of it. It's a danger.
It's a curve right there. And and it's a blind curve, no less.
On a hill.
On the hill. So you are.
It's like a terrible idea.
Could there be any more factors say danger?
So,
there was also a Saravilla student that was hit on their bicycle. Was that student error or was that
where
on Villa Park Road
on Wanda and Catella?
That was the details on that.
That was a on Wanda. That
was at
a
the intersection.
Thursday, no, Friday night. Maybe I think it was a Friday
night.
We discussed that one.
Yeah, that one.
That was a City of Orange jurisdiction, so I couldn't tell you whether. The investigation.
It was a student, though.
Yes,
it was a student on a bicycle.
Correct.
But it was at Wanda, and it was on the.
Is that the big intersection?
West side of Wanda
and
Santiago.
Yes.
Right.
The major.
Right.
Intersection.
Sheriff responded. The only reason we know what happened is sheriff responded because they just said the intersection. And our guys were down there.
Anything on that street, we're going to respond. Orange is going to respond. We sort out whose jurisdiction it is, and then the other half leaves, and one stays to investigate. So we weren't part of the investigation.
I was told he was trying to cross in a car turning, had not seen him in the crosswalk.
Okay.
And
so it was driver.
but that's just what I was told. And we came upon it, and he was sitting on the grass with his bike and helmet off, but not, you know.
I will say for the district that someone, I don't know who, whether it was the sheriff, called the principal at Sierra Villa, and she went right down there. And so she got there before the parents got there. And I know that the family was very appreciative to have the principal right there on the scene, and, you know.
I saw her there, and there was another employee from the office that were there also. I actually liked that too.
I let Lisa Ogan know as well how appreciative they were, because I didn't know if they had, you know, let her know that. But yeah, they were very appreciative that district personnel went down there. So
nice, that was very good. All right, so we have one crossing guard. So just to make sure, I think all of you know it. Crossing guards are paid for by the city. So all the Orange and City of Orange, those are paid for by the City of Orange. Our one crossing guard that we did move from Villa Park Road, and it was a number issue. How many kids were crossing versus how many kids were crossing over here. So, and I mean, I take responsibility for that, because it was, at the time, we had, you know, at the most 10 people who would cross that street. And we have thousands that cross the street over here. But we pay for that out of discretionary funds. So to get another crossing guard at Villa Park Elementary, and I did see a lot of discussion today on social media about it, as of right now, is not an option. I'm going to put it that way, money-wise. So one of the teachers actually at Villa Park Elementary called me right before school started. It was, I don't know what state she was in, Illinois, Indiana, and it's a little hokey, but it works. At the intersections down in that state by the school, it's a voluntary thing where they, at the corners, they have these flags. If you walk your kid to school, it's like the flag, and the parent holds the flag walking across in the, just in the intersection, sticks it in the bucket on the other side. When they come home from school, they pick it up, they stick it in the bucket on the other side. And it sounds silly, but I did look it up, and it works. I mean, it's just as good as you walking in the intersection saying, you know, stop, you got a big red flag. So that doesn't cost a whole lot of money. We're trying to figure out how we can implement that without anyone stealing the signs, and they're not that expensive anyway, but where we could put the buckets for the time being.
So and that's for Center and Villa Park Road?
Center and Villa Park Road, exactly. So where we have the light box, we can always put the bucket behind there. What we have a problem with is on the other side by the school, because all we have is a sidewalk and a wall. You know, where do we put the flags? But I'm looking for suggestions. That's something that costs us a whole whopping $30.
Well, I feel like it would have to be, you know, somebody from the school would probably have to go pick up. Is it something removable, like you put out in the morning?
You know, we don't have those answers. We don't have those answers because, like I said, the suggestion came from one of the teachers there, and she saw it then. She watched it in action. And I said, okay, well, let me take it back to the school committee meeting. It sounds simple.
Any of that at all. Like, I haven't heard that suggestion.
They sent me an email.
But I feel like, well, obviously, it sounds like they want the city to kind of take it on, but we've handled the traffic issues and the kids.
Yeah, but it's on the Villa Park Road and
so
on.
True.
So think about it. Think how it can be implemented. It costs $30. If it doesn't work, that's all it is.
This is for the parent
who's walking. Yep.
Who's walking their own child.
Yes.
Okay, this is not like a volunteer who's...
No.
You're your own crossing guard.
It's me. I'm walking across the street, and I'm going to pick up a flag and walk across the street so somebody can see me. That's it. I mean, it's me in the middle of the afternoon.
I walk across that street.
Mm-hmm. So would I, yeah.
Really... So you know, where is your crossing guard now that you got the BP pays for?
On Nichols and Taft.
Oh, Nichols and Taft. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
And I have to tell you, it is needed. That poor man. I mean, when I park my car and I go there, he steps off the curb, and I look at him. I said, "You need to count to three before you step off the curb."
He doesn't count to three. Out there.
And the cars go to turn right, and I mean, I'm scared to death. I'm like, "You're going to be limping on both legs." I mean, and the man's great, but he does not walk to the middle of the street. I mean, he's good. But the other guy used to count to three before he walked out. So, yeah, I get scared for him sometimes.
Yes,
and I don't think that anyone's driving crazy. I think when they go to turn right, because you're correct, the light turns green and they can turn right, but the kids can still cross, and that's the problem.
Yeah,
yeah, so it's dangerous. But I'm throwing that idea that came from one of your teachers.
Okay.
It's a city idea. It doesn't require volunteer
from
you guys. It has nothing to do, but it's just an idea. And that idea could be, you know, that idea could have
been something. Right there, couldn't you do like a hangover, like basket over the wall that would be there? Just
and that's what we were thinking of, you know. And you know what? Great. If somebody wants to steal a red flag that we get from the dollar store, then you know, so be it. But you know, even if it lasts, you know, 2 months, there's a light there. But it's such a long intersection. That
we've
people,
had a number
you know,
of people hit.
They're just afraid.
Oh, yeah, parents.
Yeah,
well, they're running the light there.
And they've run the light almost
every day.
Every time.
Yeah. I've complained since I've been on council.
Really bad.
And I have dissatisfaction with that because there's never, they did it once running the red light when I had people there and they haven't been over there. They run them. Jody Arnold ran it the day I had the officers there. She ran the red light. She called me up and she says, oh my God, I was told there'd be people here. And she, you know. So we know people run the red light. People we know run it. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. So I'm very careful there. All right. So that's that. And if I am at this point open to anything that anyone wants to talk about, if you have anything different.
Well, just on a note for our school, I noticed there has been police presence a little bit last week and maybe the week before.
Okay.
But the parking across the street where it says no parking 7:30 to 8:30, people park there all the time. I pay attention when I'm driving through there. Parents are walking their kids across the street. Obviously, it's something I've addressed with the community, mm-hmm. whether in our homeschooling meetings, over the robocalls, over social media, I posted something, because the parents just park and they just dart across the street, as always, and it's really bad. Really bad. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I had my window rolled down. The guy was just with his daughter. I said, you have to use the crosswalk.
It's not that far away.
No.
Yeah. It's three cars.
But. Okay. Yeah. You can park and walk your child up. It's just leave 5 minutes early. But I like the police presence there because we still have people making a U-turn trying to get into the parking lot. You know, there's 100 new parents at the school this year. The presence is good. It stops the jaywalking across the street. It stops them doing U-turns in the middle of the street, and it stops them from parking where they're not supposed to park.
So do we need a few tickets issued on there to stop them? It usually stops them for a couple
months. I don't know what happened. I know the officer was talking to numerous parents people and teachers. I don't know if any tickets were issued. I don't know if they were just warnings.
Sure.
And the other concern is that children do ride their bike to school, and the crosswalk coming... where are we coming west this way to go left to the school is the turn lane going right, they block the crosswalk, so the child can't ride his bike across. The child walking across is lost in the traffic because they don't stop at the corner. It's just like all
they stop around they stop like wrapped around.
So I know that's been a big issue. I know Maria Griswold has been, I don't know if she's been talking to the sheriff's department, but her kids ride their bikes to school and it's dangerous for them. Mm-hmm. So it's a problem. It's nothing new.
It's nothing new.
I think it's gotten a little bit better, but it's
getting high. Just thinking
about the weeks of school are just such a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
I think it's new parents to know the rules and I
think we switch.
Better,
you know, sometimes you have a good presence at Serrano. Sometimes you have a good presence at VPE. So it might be time to spend 2 days at VPE and bump a couple people and work your way over. It works. It works for 2 months. When you get those tickets, it works for 2 months. That's all I have to say there. So if you can maybe increase the presence there a little bit.
I mean, once every couple weeks, stop by at a pickup and drop off.
Or in the morning, or even in the morning, you said?
Would be great. And obviously the worst times are 7:56 to 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we have two different pickup times, 2:05 and 2:21.
So if you were to pick one right now, would morning be good?
Yes.
Okay. All right, just because usually they're at the high school, but it doesn't hurt to spend a couple times,
absolutely.
A little bit of time over there.
Deanna, thank you. I have a question.
Yes, of course.
Being that mine is here, I thought it was a good opportunity to ask it. I'm interested in your idea about the flags and the parents holding the flags. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility that if an accident should happen when a parent's holding a flag, that a parent holding the flag might be held liable for creating a danger in the intersection, even if they have
the light in their favor?
Well, we're not talking about a volunteer. We're talking about anybody walking. I mean, if I walk at 2 o'clock across the street.
Because there's a potential for anybody that's not a law enforcement person being held liable if something happens, you know? So it sounds kind of upside down, but I just wanted to ask that question while you were here.
Criminally, I don't see any reason why walking across a crosswalk and causing an accident, unless you're, you know, sword fighting that car that's coming, would get you in trouble.
That could happen.
Civilly. If the driver of the car that gets in the accident has a high-priced lawyer and can think of a way to frame it where his flag was distracting and he or she got an accident because of this flag, that'd be out of my hands, though. That'd be all civil actions.
When I go back to the office, I'm going to talk to my risk management department, and you had an opinion about liability.
Yeah, and we're not... This idea is not necessarily, like I said, it's not necessarily asking OUSD to participate in it. We're looking at it from just a safety standpoint of crossing that street.
Well, I was even thinking the crosswalk at
We could give you a vest. Hang the vest up.
Everybody has this huge issue from the CV parents coming through. And I was even thinking little kids, because that's our biggest thing. You'll see a second grader, a third grader standing on the corner for quite some time waiting for a break. And so if they had a flag that made them, 3 feet taller to walk themselves across the road, possibly.
Yeah, because I walk across the road and I put my hand up.
Right, so, I do too. I walk 3 feet in front of my kids to make sure, everybody stopped and then I let them go. But these little ones that are walking themselves, it could be something for them to grab and kind of, walk across the road to stop both sides. I don't know. I mean, it could be an interesting way to try.
It's an idea. All right, anything else? Yes.
I have made a request in times past, and I'm going to make it again. We would like to be able to see on our VPTV the Orange School Board meetings.
Well, I've made the request that that's the responsibility of OUSD, and they should put it on their website and have the DVD playing on their website.
Well, one or the other.
Because we're not the school board, and it would be nice if the school board, they have a brand new website, they can do it. I've talked to the superintendent about that also, but I think with so much going on, it gets lost.
We're working on getting it to an HDMI format. Right now, it's an analog format, so it's hard to download to, process it and then download it to the computer. So
we put ours on YouTube, and that's an option also. You just upload it to you it goes to
because it doesn't even go to that many people in Orange.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard that too. So I think when we get that digital transfer. Done, then it will be easier to use on all kinds of formats.
Okay.
So
I'll
take that back
like
to our IT department.
That's an OUSD issue.
I agree. To be
more open and visible.
Yeah.
They should stream them live like the city council meetings. Just opinion.
Then they could be entertained in your living room.
You can hear me in the back shouting my little.
All right. Well, I'm looking here. So, we're
love
in
it when I'm at the meeting.
September.
One other comment?
Please,
too?
Of course.
Just another add-on that I'm sure everyone's seen, but not at the elementary school level, but at CV and at VPHS, we've added several security cameras. Mm-hmm. So they're IP-based. So we're still integrating the system into our networking.
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah. So that will be helpful.
Are they within the buildings area or out?
They're not inside the buildings at all. It's all external.
But I mean, are they parking lot or within the campus?
All over.
Or
swimming pool.
Yeah. They're at CV, I believe that there's 18 cameras. At Villa Park High School, there's 37 cameras.
Wow.
So it's quite a big change. There were cameras there before, but it did not have the coverage that we have now. So we're just integrating that into our network, and as soon as we've trained staff, then we'll have those available, and for law enforcement and for our internal staff of security.
I know there have been incidents in the parking lot where people have commented in the past, why aren't there cameras in the parking lot?
That cover the parking lot, yes. There's in some cases there are 360-degree cameras in places and 270-degree cameras that cover an entire section of parking lot. So it won't be close up, but these cameras are really good high resolution cameras.
I tell people there's cameras everywhere.
And at the swimming pool.
Everywhere. So don't do anything.
That's all I have to say. I know we've had a lot of issues.
There's a coverage up top on the gym going down towards the pool.
Is this something that will be going to Serrano because our elementaries? Because we've asked about it and told that we can't get cameras because of issues.
Money?
It was money, and then I think
electricity and
yeah,
wiring.
Who was footing that, or and then installing and that. But we tried. The PFO actually offered to put up a lump sum and was told that Orange Unified wouldn't let us do it.
Well, maybe this is a time
that's
to bring it back
that's
up.
That's when you said that. I'm like, kind of is a new that administration. Coming down?
No, you got new people now, so maybe
I think
you can bring it up again.
Any kind of donation for those types of things. But, yeah, I think we have to look into that. That's the next phase as we do this. But
because we give our fields, as you guys know, to the weekends.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people on our campus. We've had, you know, a lot of issues just with, you know, outsiders coming in and being there, which is fine. We appreciate them and allow them to use our facility as well. But we have no... You know,
it's definitely something we're looking into. Yes.
Okay, perfect.
That's the next phase of the project.
Okay, perfect.
So the cameras, are those something that are they monitored all the time, or is it just kind of like if something happens and we can go back and look at the tape? What is the?
It's a mixture of both. Meaning that we have a monitoring station, we have a security department, which is small, just a couple people, but we have
that's
a monitor.
Nice thing, like,
we have a monitor in the
them,
in the. Office at all times.
Okay.
So while they can't look at every single school,
right.
If there's something that comes up, they're able to go and look at that site. If they get a call, they're able to look remotely and they send someone out as well. So you may be able to catch some things between the time that someone's actually going out there and what you see on the camera.
So the person doing, I'm sorry, maybe I missed, is at like the district? The person
it's at
our
Collins
location.
So
no one actually on campus is viewing
the No, there's going to be campus areas when people are there. But not 24/7. There won't be someone sitting there on a Sunday, you know.
Right. But you could view it from being on campus. You could view the campus.
Yes, and you can.
Like the principal's office.
And the principal can go onto their phone, or a vice principal can go on their phone and bring up any camera, depending on. So that's why it's going to take some time for us to integrate it into the system, so everyone's trained and they know, you know, what they're looking at, how they can access these cameras, what are the areas that they want to have on their display, because you could pick X amount of cameras. Some cameras, it may not be something that they want to put on. But we asked, you know, law enforcement, we asked the principals, and we had Sheldon Glass, who's, you know, our liaison to the police departments and sheriff's departments, to walk with us and figure out what the best spot for these cameras were. But we have coverage the entire campus. We offer perimeter. Back perimeter to front perimeter of every single campus to cover.
So that person is the same person, like if you see something on campus on Saturday or Sunday, I'm just going to use dogs as an example because it's all I can come up with. You don't call the sheriff to say that there's a dog on the campus. You actually call the security person at OUSD to tell them there's a dog on the campus because it's their jurisdiction for that. And then after that, if there's an issue, then they call animal control. I mean, unless...
But if you see a crime,
it's a crime to sheriff. But if you see kids, you know, over there and you know they didn't rent the place and they're doing things on there, the security is who you're going to call. And it's the same people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, you don't, you maybe have two people, you know, for all of OUSD.
The thing we have on our website for the city is just this phone number for the school district and let people know, because they don't, most people don't know that the school district is responsible for their own security.
Yeah, maybe when the signs get redone that say, you know, no dogs, no smoking, no vaping, we can have that phone number on the, you know, because they're going to get redone eventually.
Yes.
Somebody asked me, actually, they saw someone with a dog on, I think, the high school campus during school hours. Mm-hmm. And I said, in that kind of a situation, call the school office right
there. Yes.
The principal ought to know. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
They can handle that situation a lot quicker than anybody else, security or law enforcement. Security's only there on off hours. So they come in at 3 and are there until 6 a.m. in the morning.
So the track at CB is closed during the day?
Yes.
Yes.
It's open and then they open
after school hours.
Is that the same case for the high school? I know it's under construction right now, but previously?
No, it was open.
It's open.
It was open.
It's open all the time just because it's separated somewhat from campus, where CB, you have PE that's going all the way out to that field.
Okay.
So we did not want to open.
It's kind of like almost like an honor system, though. I mean, like you shouldn't be on campus legally, but you had one or two joggers on there during the whole day, and the school never said anything because nothing ever happened.
Right.
So
historically,
does that make sense?
Yes,
yeah, this is how it's been.
And people count on it, so we're, you know.
But CV does lock it up.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been kicked out of CV. I didn't know it was closed. I'm like, oh, I'll go run around the track. And they're like, excuse me.
Dr. Miller did that. He's like, what? Dr. Miller, why is this door open back here? People can come in here. I remember that. Shut the door.
And I have to tell you, I sometimes go through that cut off and see what's going on. There are people using that track all the time. And I really, it's my view.
Not currently.
Not currently. Not currently. But it's my view that I think that this ought to be something that is continued because it's something that is used and is appreciated, and hopefully people do understand that, you know, this is something that is being offered, not because we necessarily have to, although I think that it's a responsibility. That's my view, because these properties belong to the people. So so that's how I always speak up. But sometimes it's sort of a shared sort of a decision between the principal and how the principal feels and all that kind of stuff. But knowing how that track is used all the time, and I think it's appreciated all the time.
It is.
And I don't see neighbors and, you know, just members of the public coming in and being on the field. I don't see that. But they do walk the track. And to me, that's a very innocuous kind of a use, and I think that we ought to welcome that. So I'm going to be a voice for that, and hopefully going forward.
And it's a little safer now, you know, when the project is completed, because there's fencing around the entire track itself. Mm-hmm. So you can't enter into the school campus. Technically now, if you walked on that track, you could walk into campus.
Absolutely.
Anyone could from the open gate. With the new setup, that's not the case.
We do have 75,000 points of entry onto our campus.
That's okay, so our next meeting is scheduled for November 8th. It's a Thursday. Yes.
I did want to make another comment. I just wanted to say that if some people may know that the swimming pool at El Medina has failed, and we had to close it down really fast because it lost something more than a foot's worth of water depth in 24 hours. And so our facilities people called experts, including experts in like legal liability, like where's that water going and what potential damage could it do if it's all like leaving the pool at such a rate. And we were advised to drain that pool right now before it does any damage underground that nobody can see. And so now we're trying to work with El Medina so that they can continue an aquatics program without a pool. And so Villa Park High School has shared their pool, and that's been the facility that has enabled El Medina to continue. The school board is deciding what to do going forward. In my view, and this is just in my view, I don't see that we have any alternative but to put a new pool in. And we have experts who are making a decision and making plans and drawings of a new pool. And since the issue happened, there have been some folks from El Medina who have said not a 33-meter pool, but a 51-meter pool is what we would like to see. And we're still kind of trying to find out how much that would cost. And there's a decision that will be made in sometime in the next couple of months. I don't know when, depending on when the plans are made and the estimates and all that. But I just wanted to let people know, not you folks know, because you are leaders in your community and in your schools, that the school district has allocated a ton of money recently. 20-some million for the renovation of Kelly Field, and we've had to do that because the federal Office of Civil Rights has said that you must provide access for handicapped people to all parts of that stadium. And so that sort of prompted what we're doing. And so we put money aside for that. And so 20-some million, there might be more than that, has been allocated for that. And then these practice fields, another $10 million in aggregate for the three practice field renovations. I've never seen allocation of money at that rate from our district ever. And, you know, this is not Measure S funds. I think I want to be clear about that. This is money that has been sort of put aside into a facilities fund, knowing that our facilities are so old and trying to anticipate what might happen. We are now getting to the bottom of that fund. It's not an inexhaustible fund. And so with this decision, depending on how much the delta is between the cost of a 33-meter pool and a 51-meter pool, I think everybody who has an interest in the school district and who has facilities needs at schools ought to know that this might, you know, sort of drain us to the bottom. And so if you have an opinion on this, I think that you ought to be heard. There are some meetings being planned with stakeholders, and the stakeholders are currently being defined as the aquatics people, coaches, and athletic directors from the high schools. It's my view that there are other stakeholders, and those other stakeholders might be anybody who has a child in a middle school or an elementary school, because you know. This would take precedence over cameras or whatever. I mean, they're way different in terms of volume. And we still will continue to do our maintenance. We put $11 million a year into maintenance, which is equal to or greater than, percentage-wise, any school district in Orange County. And part of the reason is because our buildings are so old and they require that. Part of it is also because we want to be doing our due diligence and not letting things get any worse than they have just by virtue of the fact that they're aging. So there is possibility of, I mean, if we spend this fund down to the bottom, there is possibility that other things will get done, but, you know, at a very slower rate.
Kathy, when Foothill remodeled, the County of Orange contributed money to help them remodel their pool and their aquatic center.
You're kidding.
$750,000.
You should approach the County of Orange, because I was there when we did it. We had a deal with the Parks Department, contributed money. So because of the very reality of the community use of the pool, the concept of community use.
You should approach. That's good.
That would be a big chunk, because I think there's a $1.6 million difference, isn't there? Between the 33-meter pool and the 51.
It depends. There are other stakeholders coming from a family who has swam there now for 9 years.
And keep in mind that El Medina services unincorporated El Medina, so the county has unincorporated residents that actually attend El Medina. So there's a lot of overlap.
They have a stake in it.
They have a stake in it. So I would think, yeah, when you open up the stakeholders, you'll. Bill Campbell was there when I think they actually did it, but in that seat. But actually, I think you may want to expand the stakeholders to include the county because they have money. Well, that's one of the reasons that Foothill was able to put in the extra length and everything in their pool. If you look at their deck and everything, it's a larger pool. It's a larger, you know, the practice pool and everything they've got set up. That was the reasoning, because then they got the awnings and all that kind of stuff. So that whole thing, we have, I think you want to talk to
the website. They show the project being funded. I think the number is $750 from the county, and then the rest of it they pay from the bond funds. They have passed a bond.
That was Tustin.
They passed three bonds. So.
Yeah, exactly. But still, that's $750,000.
Yeah, that's
right.
Big chunk.
Right. That's huge. Amount.
That'd be great.
And it's yet to be seen how much the difference is between the cost of a 33-meter pool and the cost of a 51-meter.
As far as even revenue going in the future,
the other thing I'll tell you is there are conditions with that money, meaning that pool has to be open for public use or public clubs or something at less expense or charge. So no, I mean that's sort of the conditions, but that's
amount of times a year or something. Or?
There's a condition about it being available or reduced rate if you have certain residents or whatever.
There's a joint use. So what happens when you engage with accepting external funds? There's a joint use agreement,
right,
on the conditions of what that joint use is,
right,
and the terms and conditions.
And so that was specific. But I think if Foothill can do it, I don't think it's going to be prohibitive for.
We've had the same swim club there for 12 years.
Yeah, I think.
A silly question though. What's the difference between them wanting it larger
It's a long course versus a short.
It's a long course. It's different meets. It's different meets. It's more Olympic trials.
What they're saying that enables them to do is to hold two different events at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They can have
games.
Like water polo practice and swim practice at the same time and that kind of thing. And it involves building a bulkhead in between somehow. And I understand that that is extremely expensive. And I understand that moving the pool, which would have to be done if it were 51 meters, because there's not room on the existing space for a 51 meter pool. But we'll just have to see. And I have a feeling that $750,000, even though that's a big number, would probably not approach the difference in cost.
But
aging pools in the district.
Certain CIF events can't be run at some of the schools because they're short.
Well, they're 25 meter pools.
Yeah,
so 33 would enable you to run a CIF event.
But because that prohibits you from doing league events at certain schools because they don't have the right size pool.
But what is the question as far as like just a 50 meter pool versus why do we need 51 with a bulkhead?
Because you could run two meets. You can run your short course and you can run your long course. You can run two meets at the same time.
With the bulkhead?
Yeah, because that's why we practice at Golden West.
Well,
you
can run two water polo games without the bulkhead in a 50-meter pool.
Well, they do that at Rancho of the college.
Yeah, Golden West.
Or Lutheran has just a
floating curtain.
Yeah, buoy.
A floating curtain across.
Exactly.
But that's good to know. And that's something just watch it on the agenda.
Next week?
Okay.
The stakeholder meetings will be next week, and I don't know when they're going to be yet, but I haven't been told this.
It's not next week, the week after, the 9th of October. And really what it is, when we talk about stakeholder meetings, it's going to be aquatics groups, like Ms. Moffitt said, from not only Almedina, but other aquatics groups as well.
Right, that have been running the facilities.
We're talking about bringing a bunch of other stakeholders as well, but I think at this point, we're going to key on the design, is making sure that we have as much of input on the design itself, about talking about other facilities and going beyond the pools itself is something that is a master plan discussion.
Okay.
And we're actively looking at potential RFPs for a new master plan. So that's on our horizon as well.
Well, the way it's coming through to the schools, because I'm part of the aquatics group at the high school, is that they're asking the aquatics, all the stakeholders at the other schools, to support Almedina, because if you don't, we might not get a 50-meter pool. So,
but if we spend the money on
Almedina,
there won't be any money for the other ones.
I figured that would be the support, yes.
Yeah, and then they'll go down the ride. So just so you know that that's out there.
That sort of assumes that money is like...
Well, and that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't wait your turn. I mean, we do one really nice one. It's here in the
and it can be used.
Used for everybody as we have. I think when it rains, it pours.
Right.
All these projects are happening all at once. I think it's a little bit of an anomaly, and other things need to be fixed. And I think at this point,
Everybody wants something right now.
I have asked the superintendent for is for information as to how the fund that is restricted for capital improvements, how it got built to the point that it is, and over what amount of time, and by what kind of deposits into that fund, to illustrate what I suspect is that this fund built over a lot of years. It was built on one-time events like the sale of a property or one-time money that was given to districts by the state of California. And that kind of money coming in cannot be predicted or anticipated or relied upon in the future.
Or guaranteed.
Less guaranteed. And so, going forward, I think we have to sort of think this might be it. This might be it, except for the $11 million on ongoing that has to do with the regular maintenance and repairs and all that kind of thing. And so then, what's the next emergency renovation? Because Almedina is an emergency renovation because student programs depend on it. And what will be our alternatives if and when that happens. So I just wanted as a small slice of the greater stakeholder group in the district to also be aware of that, because I think that this idea that if we all just go and campaign hard for a 51 meter pool, that soon we will all have a 51 meter pool. All of our money has been going into the high school so far, all of it. And 3/4 of our students or 2/3 of our students don't go to the high school. So I've always been worried about that as well. So, but anyway,
they will be there.
Yeah, yeah, but still, when we've got holes in the walkways to the portables, and you know, there's such great needs at the other schools.
Or when things break, like pools. Yeah. Right, that's that throws everything out of the ballpark at that point.
Our pools are 50 years old.
I know they are. They're embarrassing. Like we're an aquatic family, so
I don't think there's any expectation they're embarrassing beyond the usable life.
The expectation, the expectation moving forward, is that we are improving our facilities with the money that we have. And much of what you described was a one-time situation that I don't anticipate that it's going to be a recurring. I'll be surprised if there's one more year of one-time funds. And then the board would have to decide, is that what we're going to do with the money? You know, priorities. But budgeting is about priorities. Looking at health, life, safety needs of our schools. And addressing those health, life, safety needs. And what are the priorities? Because there's some things that we're just going to have to prioritize. So unless there's an onslaught of external funds, then we're going to have to just prioritize what we can do, get some community involvement and feedback, because the work that Scott and I have to do is just like, what? Tell me what the priorities are, and we'll tell you what we can do. There's some things that I'm concerned about, because we have one failing pool, and I have two other pools that are the same age. So, you know, the reality check is that we have to do something. And about 90%, 97% of our funds are spent at the schools. And that is one of the highest percentages of funds in our county, because we get the indirect cost rates from the county. So a lot of money we spend in the school, we have one of the lowest indirect cost rates, which is our administrative costs. So there's, because of budget cuts in the past, that number has been depleted. So I think it's worth having a discussion, and certainly I would like to have an idea of what direction we're headed in the feedback, because you know, just because we build it at one school doesn't mean that all three schools are going to get it, because my copier doesn't print out cash. So we have to prioritize, make the most of it, and then identify what are our resources that we can tap into, and partnerships with the cities and the counties and joint use agreements. And this is the time to be creative, because there's things that we need to explore, because other districts have taken some strategies and have affecting working relationships, business partnerships. So I think we have to put everything on the table and have an open discussion about it, and have some solutions. Because I foresee that we're going to have some challenges that we have to address.
Well, I think that's important.
I just want to add two more things. First of all, the one-time funds that sometimes come to us, they come to us pretty much unrestricted. When we put them into this fund for capital improvements, we restrict them ourselves. But those could also come to a district and be allocated to programs. They could be allocated to any use that we want them to be allocated to, knowing that it's a one-time sort of allocation. But other school districts, you know, with whom we want to keep up in terms of quality offerings and stuff, they might be taking this money and putting it into programs or putting it into some other thing, you know, that benefits kids in an academic way. The other thing is, hopefully, the words master plan have been uttered this morning, and I've been asking for this for a very long time, and hopefully we will now have, you know, the will on the board to actually do that. It's an exhaustive process, and it takes money itself, but when we are hit with emergency after emergency after emergency, and you have to sort of manage the crises, that's you can do it a better way if you have a master plan, and you have some predictability about what comes next and about where the funds might come from. And then the other thing I wanted to say is other school districts also have taken the enthusiasm for athletic fields and venues and facilities, and have made that the topic of a facilities improvement bond. And there's a lot of passion and a lot of enthusiasm for improving our facilities, And the fact that we're digging into more unrestricted funds to put into this means that it's not going to other things. So, you know, it could be viewed as an opportunity lost where we're spending millions of dollars for something that could be, you know, a bond in the future, but we don't have a choice right now because we have to get that pool.
Let's take one bond at a time. Speaking for the city, absolutely. It took a long time. Let's let them see something behind. First before we we're mention that word again and exactly. have everybody go crazy.
But we're so behind, you know.
Yeah, I know. But you know how hard it is here
we're
too.
We're sort of cannibalizing our resources because of the fact that we're so behind.
Well, and one thing I was thinking primarily for the elementary school is to get out there is when we were campaigning for the bond is that there's a lot of perception in the community that OUSD wastes money and they don't maintain their facilities. They kept saying over and over again, well, we wouldn't be in this problem if OUSD had maintained their facilities. And the
managed their money.
Yeah, and the experts that the district got who are experts on pools, these pools are significantly beyond their like useful lifespan because the maintenance was so good. And so, you know, I'd really like us to make that point to the parents and really get that message out to the community is some of this stuff has lasted as long as it has because we have been good with the money, because we have maintained our facilities.
And the elementary schools have received new carpet and paint in almost every single classroom. So the internal look of the classroom has changed dramatically. So, and the lighting and the Prop 39 with the HVAC that we did. So while you may see the older shell of the building, inside of that shell, things have been upgraded. And so the classroom experience is better. But it just can't do everything with deferred maintenance monies. And that's why, you know, that bond is probably, well, I don't say that bad word.
It's okay. Just not now.
Just
that's okay. We don't want to run another
bond. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to end this meeting. We'll have our next meeting on November 8th. And thank you very much for all participating and joining for the discussion.
Thanks for having us.
I don't mean to run.